You could tell just by listening that last night's candidate debate was in Florida.
Well, first of all, you thank heavens that Fidel Castro has returned to his maker and will be sent to another land.
First of all, I guess the only thing I would suggest is I don't think that Fidel's going to meet his maker. I think he's going to go the other place.
Castro in Cuba, kind of a local political issue in South Florida. Last night's debate was at the University of South Florida in Tampa. You could also tell that the two front runners were concentrated on each other, even though there were four debaters on stage. Here's former governor and financier Mitt Romney on former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich.
In the 15 years after he left the speakership, the speaker has been working as an influence peddler in Washington.
And here's Gingrich on Romney.
First of all, he may have been a good financier. He's a terrible historian.
And here they are at each other's throats last night.
We consistently, for 12 years running four small businesses, stayed away from lobbying precisely because I thought this kind of defamatory and factually false charge would be made.
Well, Mr. Speaker, you were on this stage at a prior debate. You said you were paid $300,000 by Freddie Mac as an historian. They don't pay people $25,000 a month for 6 years as historians.
In fact, Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich took shots at each other's records all evening long. The rich guy who wants to be one of the people versus the former Washington guy who wants to be the anti-Washington candidate. First, here's Romney.
The truth is that the members of his own team, his congressional team, after his 4 years of leadership, they moved to replace him. They also took a vote, and 88% of Republicans voted to reprimand the speaker. And he did resign in disgrace after that. This was the first time in American history that a Speaker of the House has resigned.
I left the speakership after the 1998 election because I took responsibility for the fact that our results weren't as good as they should be. I think that's what a leader should do.
The other two candidates were there as well. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum got this remark in on his concern for national security along Florida's very long coastline.
They're now with the Cubans and the Venezuelans, the Nicaraguans. There is a growing network of folks now working with the jihadists, the Iranians, who are very, very excited about the opportunity to having platforms 90 miles off our coast, just like the Soviets were. Very anxious to have platforms 90 miles off our coast.
And there was at least one important question for Ron Paul that has been on the minds of Republicans all campaign long.
Will you run as a third-party candidate?
I have no plans to do that, no intention. And when I've been pressed on it, they asked me why, and I said I don't want to. But I haven't been an absolutist. When I left Congress, I didn't have many plans on going back, but I did after 12 years. I went back to medicine. So, no, I don't have any plans to do that, no.
But it's safe to say the door is wide open after that answer. So where do we stand? To break down last night's debate, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, is with us. Hello, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
And joining us is Sergio Bustos, state politics editor at the Miami Herald. Welcome to the program, Sergio.
Good morning.
So, Todd Zwillick, takeaway for me is Mitt Romney came to play last night. Where do you stand?
Mitt Romney getting the bare knuckles out, really, for the first time in this race. There have been times in other debates where questions have gotten testy. It was very clear that Mitt Romney came to fight last night. I was thinking as that debate ramped up that final debate prep, they had kind of bound and gagged Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, you know, thou shalt not attack another Republican. That commandment was in a storage locker underneath the venue.
It's been out the window for a few months, I think, Todd.
Well, especially for last night, though, because you knew, given the state of the race and that Newt Gingrich had overtaken Mitt Romney in the polls in Florida, most importantly, less importantly, nationally, sort of symbolically important, that Mitt Romney was coming to damage Newt's reputation and try to get a shackle on him just a few days, you know, before next Tuesday's
voting. And we'll see if the polls in Florida bear that out. Sergio, I'm so thrilled to have you on the program this morning, because I think politically, and I've spent some time down there, not as much as you, obviously, I think of Florida as this huge political pinball machine with various ethnicities and constituents. And you got the Panhandle, you got South Florida, you got Tampa, which is a political activist zone in the state. You know, what lights were going off during the debate as people referenced various issues and Gingrich and Romney went after each other? Sergio?
Oh, no, last night was interesting. I mean, when you're in Florida, you really literally, as a politician, have to speak out of both sides of your mouth. You got to speak with a Panhandle point of view, and then you got to throw in a South Florida view. You heard they talked about everything from the Everglades to to what I thought was Fidel Bin Laden, as it came up with Rick Santorum. It's really a tough fight in Florida when you're a politician. I don't envy these guys at all.
From the Florida perspective, if you're trying to gauge the temperature in Florida, any winner last night if you're just thinking about Florida?
I thought Mitt Romney did pretty well. To borrow the expression we used in our lead story today from our political writer Mark Caputo, we say goodbye to Mr. Nice Guy Mitt. What a difference the South Florida, South Carolina primary makes. Last week we thought Mitt Romney was going to roll into town and sew this up, and now we really have a dogfight on our hands.
Todd Zwillick, Mitt Romney seems to think that his front-runner momentum can be sustained in Florida, and Newt Gingrich takes the exact opposite approach, that he's a Georgia congressman with roots in the South. Do those roots go as deep in the South as South Florida?
Yeah, I don't really know the answer to that, because it's been so long since Newt Gingrich has been in Congress. You know, the roots question, look, Newt Gingrich is a national political figure. They both are. You know, Mitt Romney's from Massachusetts, and Newt Gingrich did represent Georgia, but back in the mid-90s, at this point, Newt Gingrich is a national figure. Mitt Romney's a national figure. I don't have the perception, unless you're talking Marietta, Georgia itself, where Newt Gingrich represented back in 94, 95 until he eventually resigned, that Floridians are necessarily responding.
Well,
he
said it would work for him in South Carolina. It certainly seemed to. The test will be if that happens in Florida. Sergio, give us the last word. We're going to take a break and then come back and keep on this.
Look, Gingrich will play in the deep South of Florida, and he also plays what we call the deeper South, which is South America and the Caribbean. He's going to do well in Cuba, in Miami, because he's already spoken to the Cuban community there, and they like him. He was behind Helms Burton back in the 90s, and that's going to help him very much down here.
Sergio Bustos, state politics editor at the Miami Herald, joining us from South Florida. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent inside the Beltway. We'll talk more about the debate last night and the importance of this Florida primary. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
So continuing our discussion of that debate last night in Tampa, the Republican presidential debate, the first one held in Florida in the advance of the Florida primary, which is a week away, January 31st. People will be heading to the polls. We're talking with Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and Sergio Bustos, state politics editor at the Miami Herald. And if you missed our recap of the debate, you can go to thetakeaway.org and hear some selections from the debate. And we'll play a few more audio clips from that debate in this segment as well. Sergio, does this mean, and you referred to it a moment ago, the South Carolina victory of Newt Gingrich, does this mean that Florida is more in play and more important as a contest because it's not simply a rubber stamp endorsement of Mitt Romney, who as recently as a week ago was the absolute front runner in both South Carolina and Florida?
Oh, definitely. You're right on target there. I mean, the whole idea of Republicans here, they wanted to move the primary up here, which is very controversial, but to do just that, to be a player. And right now we're a player.
And does that increase turnout? Because a very important gauge for the Republicans' ability to generate momentum against Barack Obama is accelerating turnout as these primary contests continue towards the convention.
I think if it's a repeat of South Carolina, because there was more turnout in South Carolina Republicans than expected, and it's certainly here. There's a real anger here right now, and I think this race is where people were able to express their anger. So I think turnout here could be pretty high.
Exit polls showed that Romney only really won the urban voters in South Carolina. At least that's what Anna Sale told us yesterday on this program. More urban voters than rural voters in Florida, I believe, if you do the math. What does that say for Mitt Romney? And take us around the state. You mentioned that South Florida is going to be good for Gingrich. Any sort of regional sense of where Romney is strong?
I think Romney Romney could be strong with that hard, the group of moderate Republicans, which are all over the state, but especially in Central Florida. The Panhandle, of course, is more the evangelicals and that like, more conservative, if you will. Down here in South Florida, it's going to be someone who maybe speaks to what's happening in Cuba, Latin America. And in fact, on Wednesday, both men are, Gingrich and Romney, going to be making speeches. But the focus on housing is going to be really, really big. Romney's going to Fort Myers today, which you might as well be called the epicenter of the foreclosure crisis. And that's going to be, he'll obviously hammer away at this whole Freddie Mac thing with Gingrich, and that's going to play well.
And let's talk a little bit about the big story this morning. Mitt Romney releases his tax returns, and there are some details in there that certainly confirm that he is a very wealthy individual, but he gives a lot of money to charity, and he's taxed at a less than 15% rate. Does the fact that he has assets in the Grand Caymans and is a very skillful manager of his wealth, does that win him any points in Florida, or does that become a bit of a liability?
You know, Floridians, John, are really furious, like I said before, so I'm not sure that's going to play well, and I already see the ad by Gingrich. It's not going to be Cayman Islands. He's also going to throw in Swiss bank account, and that's not going to play well.
Todd?
No, it doesn't play well anywhere, which is why Newt Gingrich is doing it and helps explain why Newt Gingrich, pro-Gingrich super PACs are sucking in yet another $5 million from wealthy casino owners in Nevada. So, it doesn't play well anywhere. But, John, I got a little bit of data here for you if you really want to know how Mitt Romney's tax return release might sort of play with average Americans, especially on the eve of the State of the Union. If Mitt Romney's paying right around 15%, 13.9% in 2010, expects to pay 15.4% this year on about $45 million in income. That means, according to the Tax Policy Center here in Washington, that Mitt Romney pays about as much tax as somebody making $50,000. If you pay more than $50,000, right away your effective tax rate goes up to about 17% and then on up as you earn more. So Mitt Romney, who's worth, up to and above, $250 million, is paying an effective tax rate equal to somebody making $50,000. Remember the Buffett rule? I shouldn't be paying lower taxes than my secretary, Warren Buffett said. Barack Obama in the State of the Union tonight is unlikely to refer to Mitt Romney directly by name. In fact, there's almost no way that he will. But I'm going to bet you that he gets very close to this theme or mentions it directly, the Warren Buffett rule. Shared sacrifice. How do we have in this country people in the hundreds of millions or billions making paying as much tax as somebody $50,000? That's a theme that the president likes going into tonight.
Although he won't mention the tax returns, I suspect. Although, Sergio Bustos, talk a little bit about the charitable giving in the tax return. What do Floridians think about the fact that he gave $7 million to charity, but a lot of that to the Mormon Church? Is the church an issue in Florida at all?
I think that might have been a bigger issue up in South Carolina. I don't think it's going to be as bad down here. But, that's to be seen. He didn't do well back in 2008 here. He lost by 5-6 percentage points to McCain. And that issue never came up. In fact, he dropped out of the race after that. So it remains to be seen.
Sergio Bustos, we're going to take it out on the issue. I don't actually have time in this segment to play the clips, but there was a discussion, a fairly extensive discussion on the part of Gingrich and Romney of immigration policy and questions of deportation and the DREAM Act. How do you think Floridians are going to react to that discussion? Was it an informed discussion or did it feel like pandering? Sergio?
I think it was very nuanced, this whole bit about they kind of softened a bit the DREAM Act, that they would allow folks who came here legal as kids, but then are going into the military. But why can't kids who are going to college also get the DREAM Act support? That's going to be a very nuanced little debate there. Look, as far as I'm concerned, as far as Floridians are concerned, especially down here, as long as these two guys don't come down here dancing salsa and talking Spanish, if they just speak to direct issues, the jobs, the economy, immigration, that will play better here than any kind of nuanced discussion over the DREAM Act.
Sergio Bustos, state politics editor at the Miami Herald. We'll give you the last word, Todd Zwillick. Santorum, Paul, we haven't even mentioned them yet.
Yeah, we haven't, and they were in the debate last night. Let's face it, this was a Romney-Gingrich match last night. I have urged Floridians to just know where your mute button is, make sure it's well-oiled, and make sure the batteries are fresh on that remote, because it's going to be an onslaught until Tuesday. These guys are moneyed up.
Some of those commercials are pretty entertaining, though.
Yeah, and some of them are extremely grating. I guess that depends on your point of view.
Yes, indeed. All right, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, on the debate last night in Tampa. The next debate is on Thursday, is that right?
Yeah, Jacksonville.
And we've got a State of the Union address tonight, so politics on both sides of the aisle coming out of Washington and Florida. Todd Zwillick, Sergio Bustos, thanks so much.
You bet.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.